I'm going to ask you this morning, if you would, please turn with me in the book of Mark, chapter 7. And I want to talk today in hopefully a helpful way about sin. Now, it's a little three-letter word that we've learned to hate. We've heard stop sinning, don't sin, shouldn't sin, quit sinning. We've heard it over and over, but oftentimes we don't press down into what is sin. And I'm not talking about the difference between the sin of drinking and the sin of adultery. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in its makeup, what is sin and what makes it so wrong? And the more that we know about this, the more that we can be convicted and the more that we can adjust our lives to walk with our sinful activity within them. The book of Mark, chapter 7. I will say this before I read because I forgot to do it earlier. Please do not forget to support this ministry today. We need your financial support. We always need your support. This church, although it's a small building, we looked at the numbers just yesterday. 3,000 people will join us today. 3,000 people from around the world will join us in this webcast today. And that happens because we pay for all the internet costs, the streaming costs, and all the different costs to get this gospel out to the world. And whoever we touch, Christ Unveiled touches in this world, because you support this ministry, you get part of that blessing. You're part of that effort. And so we invite you to please support us today. Mark chapter 7, verse 5 says this. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, Jesus, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He, Jesus, answered and said unto them, well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, the people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And I want to speak for just a few moments this morning upon the heart that is far from God. Let's pray. Father, we just worship you this morning. We thank you. You have been so good to each of us individually. You have been good to us corporately. And we just thank you for your many blessings upon our lives. We do not take it for granted. We, Lord, know that every good and perfect gift comes from you, the Father of lights. Now, Father, we'd ask you that you'd bless this offering that we receive today, those that support this ministry. Return that blessing upon them in such a way that they understand and know that the Lord is pleased with them. Whether here in the worship room or across the internet, Father, we ask you to bless these families that support the expansion of the kingdom of God. And I ask you for your help today, Lord, to minister this word in such a way that your people will both understand it and take heed to it. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen and amen. So the disciples are walking with Jesus. They're the only ones on the planet who are walking with Jesus. But yet you have the Pharisees, the religious people who are not walking with Jesus, finding fault. Let me say this very clearly. When you find yourself constantly continuing, finding fault with everything around you, could it perhaps be that the beam is in your eye? And so everything you look at it with a beam in your eye. Nevertheless, the disciples were the only ones that walked with Jesus. And they began to be criticized. The Pharisees criticized them to Jesus himself. And Jesus rebuked them. He called them hypocrites to their face. And then he says, well has Isaiah prophesied that with the lips they honor the Lord, but yet their heart was far away from him. Now, what does that mean, the heart being far away? We need to analyze that and not just accept it as a phrase. God is a spirit. He has no physical body. So being far away from the Lord, it has nothing to do with your locality or your geographical position. Because God is also omnipresent, meaning that he's everywhere at the same time. Are you with me? David said, if I ascend into the heavens, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. God is everywhere. There is nowhere that God is not. If that is the fact, if that is a fact, how can our hearts be far from him if he's everywhere? It's not talking about physical positioning. But rather it's talking about God, the person of God, is absolute perfection. He is incomprehensible perfection. And when we live our lives, we are shooting for the mark of being like God. And inasmuch as we miss the mark to that degree, we're far off from God. We've missed the mark of his perfection. Is that making sense? Now, nobody's ever going to be like God. As I said, he's incomprehensibly perfect. And so we will miss the mark a little bit, but when your heart is far from God, that means you're not paying attention to the bullseye. If you can imagine a physical bullseye with the black little target in the middle, and then it's got rings around it. And that little center part, that's absolutely like God. And you shoot your moral arrow, and it doesn't hit the first ring, the second ring, or the third ring. It misses the whole bullseye. It hits the wall up in the corner 20 feet away. That means you are far away from hitting the bullseye. And so God gave us the law to help rein us in so that we don't, if we're going to be far off from the Lord, the law lets us know you're missing it by a long shot. Are you with me? He gave us the law to say, thou shalt not lie. So you know if everything that comes out of your mouth is a lie, you know your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, you know your heart is afar off from the Lord because you are so far missing his mark. Amen? So being far from God, it refers to being incompatible with God. You see, God is the creator of everything. And what he created to be compatible with him. Let us make man in our image. But yet, due to sin and due to our own stubbornness, sometimes we don't really want to be that much like God because it takes something. I'd rather just show out. I don't want to be patient. I know God is patient, ultimately patient, and I know the call is to walk in patience, but it's a little bit taxing. I'd rather be loosey-goosey and come back later and repent. Every time that you have to go to God and repent, it is an admission that my heart strayed away from you, that my moral actions have strayed away from you, and now I'm coming back, and you should come back. It's right. You want to repent. You want to come back. But sin is the straying away from the moral code who is the person of God. Understand something. Something is not right because God says it's right. God doesn't say something is right because it's right all by itself. God is right. And everything that lines up with him is right. And to the degree that anything deviates from his standard, it is wrong. That's how we know right from wrong. And so whenever you're living your life and perhaps a temptation comes through and you know there's the right way to go and then, you know, I could go the wrong way. You feel that struggle. You feel that temptation. Understand the temptation is for you to deviate from the standard that God is. The whole work of Calvary was not only to save you from eternal hell, which of course it did that, but the greater part of the work of Calvary was to begin to conform you back into the standard that God is. I want to make this clear. God does not have a standard independent of himself. He is perfect beauty, he's perfect wisdom, he's perfect patience, he's perfect purity, he's perfect responsibility, he's perfect everything. He is the standard. And so when we deviate, we're not just deviating from the ordinance of God, we're deviating from the person of God. And ultimately, when this thing is all wrapped up, those that are like God, he's going to gather them into his barn. And those who are unlike God, and had just walked in religion. That's what the Pharisees did. They were supremely religious, but they weren't walking with Jesus. Those will be cast off. Do you remember what John said in his opening sermon? Now herein is the axe laid at the root of the tree. Every tree that brings forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the lake of fire. The good fruit is Galatians 5:22. Those attributes there, they are the definition of the personality of God. Those are the things the Holy Spirit is trying to create within us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Those are the things that he wants to produce because that's what makes you like Jesus Christ. Coming to church don't make you like Jesus Christ. You get no kudos for coming to church. It's your reasonable service. Why would you not, if you're living for God and walking with God, why would you not assemble yourself in the presence of God in the great congregation and say, Lord, we're here to honor you. Why would you not do that? So we don't get kudos for that. But as we begin to bring ourselves in alignment with his perfection, see, you can never be perfect without being like God. There's only one perfection, and he is that perfection. And so that's why we have to line up with him, and that's why he will never line up with you. That's why he will never bend. He can't bend to give you a little wiggle room. His standard is steadfast. We have a common word in the Bible that we read, iniquity. And we read it and we know it means wickedness or evil. It means sinful activity. Iniquity, we know it's bad. But when you look at the etymology of the word, it's very telling. The word is compound iniquity. Inequity is really what it is. Now, we use the word equity very different in our political times than they did back when the King James was written. But the Latin root of that word equity, it means equal. Equal. So that iniquity, it means not equal. It means that our actions were not equal to our Creator's actions. It means that we've acted in a way that deviates and we're not aligned with God. And sometimes we can live our lives out of alignment with God, severely out of alignment with God, and we just live happy. And we say, well, we'll just cover our sin. We'll just hide it. We won't tell anybody. But you need to know that God, who knows all things because he's omniscient, he knows your heart is far from him. You see, these Pharisees in the opening scripture, they were amongst the most religious people in Jerusalem of that day. Anybody who would look at their externals would say, man, them guys are holiness of holiness. They're living it down. But when Jesus looked at them, who judges and discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart, he began by saying, you're hypocrites. Because outwardly you have this outward veneer that makes it look like you're aligned with God, when in fact you want to murder the Son of God. And although ours hopefully is not that severe, we can sometimes become misaligned with God. There's no one in this room perfectly aligned with God, including myself. And it will never be. God, again, listen to the words, is incomprehensibly and perfectly holy, meaning moral purity. You and I, all we can do is try to get as close to him as we can. But if your moral arrow is not even hitting the target, it's hitting the wall back over here, that something's wrong. Something's wrong. You need to take heed of the fact that I'm not aligned with God. And see, sometimes it doesn't have to be all these big sins. You know, we talk about smoking and drinking and sexing and these kind of things. And those are sins. But sin is an attitude of the heart. Sin is an attitude. Sometimes you can look at your brother cross-eyed. You can look at somebody with jealousy or envy. That's sin. It's nothing but an attitude inside, but it's just as sinful. It's just as hurtful. And once that thing builds up enough on the inside, sooner or later, it's going to come out your mouth. Because the abundant, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will always speak a reflection of what's in the heart. And so we as Christians, many times we learn how to stop doing all the big sins. See, the external sins, sooner or later somebody's going to catch you coming out that hotel room. So sooner or later somebody's going to catch you cutting up. And so we learn how to get rid of those sins that embarrass us. But then those little sins and the attitudes of our heart, the little sneaky stuff that we do, one of the apostles called it the superfluity of naughtiness. How many know what being naughty is? you learn how to be naughty as a little child, but that thing never really goes away. You know what naughty is. I am convinced that much of the sexual perversion of society now is because of the spirit of naughtiness. It's freaky. It's perverted. Let's do it. Much of society has become addicted to naughtiness. And God today is telling us that naughtiness, even though it may seem like it has no harm, like it's not hurting anybody, it would seem like pornography doesn't hurt anybody. Nobody knew. I didn't yell at anybody. I didn't touch anybody. Who would know? But yet it is a deviation from the perfection that God is, from his moral purity. And so we have to start seeing our sin, especially our personal sin, our private sin, our secret sin. There's nobody, you look as holy as you can look. I can see the holiness on your face. But there's no one in this room that does not have a secret sin right now that you're dealing with, that you're trying to, it may be big, it may be small, but it's something. And that is what's keeping you from being more like Jesus, is that small deviation that you make from time to time. You see, walking this Jesus life, that's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. He abides on the inside. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He sees everything. And so that being the case, when you have missteps, when you have your warts and your blemishes are showing, you can go to God because he's already seen it anyway. You can just openly talk to him. God, you see me struggling with this thing. Lord, I need your help. I am dependent upon you to fix this. I cannot fix myself. But saints, when we allow those little deviations to just live in our life, to just live in our life. We know it's wrong to cuss. But nobody really cares. I mean, it's not against the law. So if I just say a few bad words every now and again, people know I'm communicating with them. They get my drift, what I'm saying. Well, the Bible said, let no filthy communication proceed forth out of your mouth. So that means if you do that, that's a deviation from who he is. If you're going to make any room, if you're going to make any advancements as Christians, you're going to have to learn how to be constantly corrected by the Holy Ghost. It's constant. There's years ago, this was an open field, and we just had that building over there, and I would come out and cut the grass. Me and one of the brothers would cut the grass and clean up the open field. We didn't even have that building. That was an open field, too. We would just come out and cut the grass. And they had a big drainage ditch right here through the middle, and I was just picking up wood and stuff, and I had a handful of wood, so I just threw it in the drainage ditch because it's a ditch. But it's a ditch that was not on my property. That was the other man's ditch. And the Holy Spirit stopped me right there and told me, that is another man's property. Go pick your trash up off his property. You're going to have to learn how to be constantly corrected. There was another time I remember I was eating a piece of candy or gum and just threw the wrapper down, and the Holy Spirit stopped me. Said, pick it up and put it in your pocket. And from that day, I don't litter. I don't throw paper on the ground. The only thing I throw on the ground is an apple core because the bugs can eat it, or banana peel, something biodegradable. But you're going to have to learn how to live with constant correction, because that is the job and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. And even though we're Christians and we love God and we live for God, I'm as sincere as anybody I know in living for God, but there are times that I see my heart is not aligned with Him. I can see that there's a difference between me and Him, and it becomes such a blaring shadow in my life. I used to tell my wife this all the time, watching all this political foolishness going on. I would tell my wife, if I could just be the dictator for 5 days, I could clean this mess up in no time. Yes, some people would die. But we'd get the mess cleaned up. And God one day rebuked me. He said, if I'm not cleaning it up, that means your heart is not aligned with me. You're not like me. So even the thought of the heart, even the imaginations of the mind are laid open and bare before the Lord Jesus Christ in His attempt to try to bring us into alignment with God. Don't think of sin as a bad word. It's a bad act, but it's not a bad word. It's something that identifies we are not aligned with Him. And it can happen very easily. You don't have to try to be wrong to be wrong. You could be trying to be right and still be wrong. In the book of Luke, chapter 9, another time the disciples are walking with Jesus. Beginning with verse 54, it says, and when His disciples, James and John, saw this, the Samaritans did not want them to go through their land. They said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down out of heaven and consume him, even as Elijah did? Now get this now. The Samaritans made them angry because they wouldn't let him pass through their land. And so the disciples, trying to be right, they weren't trying to do wrong. They said, Jesus, you see what's happening. Now we've had a taste of your power. How about we just call down fire from heaven right now and just burn all these devils up? How about it? And they said, no. Well, look, we got Bible. Elijah did it. We got Bible. You don't have to be trying to be wrong to be wrong. And Jesus, it says, but He turned and rebuked them. This is what happens when you're out of alignment with God. You're open and needing a rebuke to catch your attention. You're misaligned. Get yourself back compatible with who He is. Get your attitude back compatible with who He is. He turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. Now, that's quite a rebuke when you begin to analyze it. Because they came with this idea. They came and they brought it to Jesus. This is a good thing. Let's kill him. So Jesus said, not only are you wrong, you're also spiritually ignorant. He said, you don't know what manner of spirit you are. You don't know what you're even saying. You're operating in a way completely inconsistent with both the Father in heaven and the Son on the planet. And these disciples were trying to live for Jesus, just like you and just like I, trying to live for Jesus. But sometimes you can be trying to be right, but you're just wrong. It happens to all of us, probably at least every day. But the point is that when you see that I'm misaligned, make the correction. Make the correction. It's like if you're driving from here to California and you find out here in Texas, even in Dallas, you got on the wrong highway to go to California. You got on the wrong highway. The sooner you correct it, the least far off you're going to be from California. I'm not saying it well. If you get on the highway, wrong highway, 35 north, trying to go to California, you're going to be a far off. You may, in fact, never even get there. But if you see early, my God, I'm going in the wrong direction. Sinful activity is increasing in my life. Oh, I'm going the wrong way. Let me adjust. Let me bring myself in alignment with His perfection. That will reduce sinful activity in your life. And at the same time, make you more like Jesus. And you're going to want to be like Jesus. See, right now in our society, we see no value in being like Jesus. Man, when there's so much liquor to drink and so many parties to go to, so many raves to attend, so many drugs to take, why would you want to be like Jesus now? But the reality is, you're one heartbeat away from eternity. One heartbeat. You know, there's many people, we read it in the newspaper all the time with so many of the movie stars and even the athletes that have a lot of money. They're living their life, they're living large, it's all wonderful. But they take just a little bit too much of their drug that night. And they step out into eternity. Oh, my God. They step out into eternity and they're twisted out of the image of God. They're twisted into the image of Satan. And they didn't realize, and there they are, standing in eternity before a holy God, misaligned, their heart misaligned. They're living in willful ignorance of his expectation for us. This is why don't so much look at the different little sins that you're involved in. Look at the fact that you're not aligned with your Creator. You're different than he is. And your task is, no matter what that sin is, they got to go, no matter what it is. It could be smoking dope or drinking Budweiser. It could be cussing, or it could be being mean to other people. Or it can just simply be an attitude of the heart. I'm not satisfied with God's provision. I'm going to go buy some lottery tickets. Because I'm not happy with the portion that God has cut me. I want a bigger portion. And since I can't get it from God, I'm going to go see what man give it to me. And let me just tell you, what is the lottery now? Isn't it like a 1.5 billion? It's maybe like $1 billion or something. It's a lot. If you won that money, you would build a highway straight to hell. Let me tell you why. You're misaligned from God. You got a lot of money. You can go any direction you want to go. You're not going to go in the direction except the direction you're aligned in. I like the women and I like booze. That's the direction you're going in. And your money will take you there faster than you wanted to arrive, get you there faster than you wanted to get there. Meanwhile, you're getting further and further away from God. Saints, it's important to realize that God is the perfection. Let me see if I can explain this. God is the ultimate reality. They call him the Mysterium Trendum, Tremendum. It doesn't get any realer than God. Now, we look and we say, well, I can't see him, I can't see him, I can't hear him, whatever. But he is more real than anything in the physical universe. He stood in nothing and spoke the word, and it stood fast. We have to bring ourselves into alignment with that reality that he is. You're going to come to that reality. Either you're going to come to it in sanctification, or you're going to come to that reality at the great white throne judgment. But you are coming to that reality. Don't get fooled by the society right now. They go in every direction, 1,000 miles an hour, but they are running straight into the pit. Don't follow them. Don't envy them. And I'm going to be honest with you, don't feel sorry for them. Share the gospel. If they turn away, share the gospel with somebody else. Because in that day, reality is going to step into our little fantasy world. And we're going to see the heavens depart like a scroll. We're going to see angels flying through the air. We're going to see demon spirits that look like horses that sting with their tail and with their mouth. We're going to see men that get stung that are in such anguish, such pain that they try to kill themselves. And the Bible said death will flee from them. God's going to take away death and leave them like that for 6 months. Yeah, reality is coming in. See, I can look at our faces and see some of us, what are you talking about? Study to show yourself approved unto God. Be a workman that needeth not be ashamed, able to rightly divide. It's in this book. If I quoted it today, please believe me, it's in this book. Get a King James. No, you can't trust them other Bibles. They'll take it out. NIV is the worst one about it. If they don't like the scriptures, they just drop the whole passage and they'll say, well, better manuscripts have been found. Well, just because it's a different manuscript, what makes it better? Well, it was found later. That don't make it better. That just makes it younger. We call it sin, and we find ourselves ashamed of it. We find ourselves running from the very word sin. But when we analyze what we're really talking about, it is a misalignment with God's perfection. And when we say, well, I'd rather just keep my sin, what you're saying is, I'd rather be unlike my Creator. And of course, you're a free moral agent. You can do that. But when the tree falls, that's the way it lays. In other words, when you fall in death this way, you, after death, you can't jump up and jump over here. You fell over there. That's where you're at. See, when we leave this life, I'm going to try to say this. When we leave this life, you leave space-time. You're no longer in time. You step out into eternity, and in eternity, everything is fixed. And so the way you step out in eternity, you're fixed like that throughout the rest of eternity. So this is the time that we can give our hearts and lives seriously to the Lord and just get ourselves aligned back with Him. I want to walk like you walk. Saying none of us are going to hit perfection. I've walked with Jesus almost 40 years. I don't even see perfection. When I look in the direction, I don't see perfection anywhere. But I'm so much better than I was. I'm growing so much. And so I can either say, thank God for being where I'm at, knowing that I've got much more growth to do, or I can look back and say, I wish I had still been a sinner back there smoking dope like I was 30 years, 40 years ago. I advise you, align your hearts with God. Align your hearts with God no matter what it is. Don't just look at the drinking and the smoking. That's bad. But those attitudes of the heart, that's what make us so unlike Jesus. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, because you are patient with us. And Lord, with all of our brokenness and all of our missteps, oh God, you're never discouraged. You never criticize us. But Lord, you just pick us up and you help us to walk. No matter how lame we are, God, you don't throw us out. You just continue to bind us with self and help us to walk right. We come to you now this morning, Lord, and we admit to you that we're unaligned. We're not like you. But you are the perfection that we aim for. Come on, would you stand to your feet all over the room this morning if you're able? And you just reach out to God. You know the areas that you struggle with in your life. You know where the struggle is. All of us have one. You're not the only one. All of us have one. And just reach out to the Lord this morning and say, God, I've got these issues. You know what they are, and I know what they are. God, I bring them to you this morning. I've got to cast these off because I do not want to be unlike you. I want to grow in your likeness. I don't want to be conformed to this world, but I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Come on, just reach out to the Lord. He loves you this morning. He's not angry at you at all. Just reach out. God, conform me to your image. Conform me to your likeness.
Amen. I'm thankful this morning that He is long-suffering and He is patient, because I need His patience. And I'm so thankful that we don't have to be perfect to come to Christ. And I pray that each and every one of us would hear that message today and continue to walk closer to God and just get one more step closer to God each and every day. And we'll look back and we'll see how far we've came. So thankful for that word today. We want to tell you all again, thank you so much for joining us. We want to thank those in-house and also those who have joined us through our webcast. We want you to know you are welcome and you are family. A couple of quick announcements. If you haven't had a chance to give, it's not too late. You can still give. We have multiple ways that you can do that. Also, we have prayer sets coming up this week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Thursday and Friday from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. we'll be right here. We'll have our prayer set. And then on Saturday from 10 to 12 a.m. it's just a time to come in and be in the presence of God. We'll have some music playing. You can pray. You can read. You can work. It's just a time to come and be in God's presence. And it's just what Pastor was preaching about aligning ourselves. One of the ways that we do that is we get into His Word. We spend time in His presence. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We hope you have a wonderful week. We hope to see you back Wednesday night for Bible study. We hope you have a wonderful day. Be blessed, and you are dismissed.